This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good morning, this is Talking Devils. I'm Wayne Barton, joined this week by United legend Paul Parker. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm good, thank you.
And as you can see, we are joined by the incomparable David Murphy. Better get a compliment in because he might leave us for the month. How are you doing, Dave? You all right?
Well, I mean, this is the only way I gain a compliment. I'll see you again next month.
A bit too soon then as well. If you're watching live on YouTube or Facebook, if you get your comments in, subscribe. If you're watching the replay, feel free to comment because we do reply to the comments that we get as well. If you're listening back on the audio podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave a positive review on the platform you're listening on. And so if you're watching on Twitter, feel free to get your comments in because they do come up in our stream now and we can discuss those while you're watching. A lot to get through today. We'll briefly touch on Wolves. We'll talk about the West Ham game yesterday and the outcome of that. And obviously we're going to talk about Munich as well. So first off, we'll talk about Wolves 4-3. United were in control for much of the game. Then it all went crazy for 25 minutes. We had the mini game within a game in injury time, as you normally do when you get 9 minutes. And then you get the Cobby masterclass. And Paul, you know, Manchester United do things to you, and you've played in games like that as well. And we can all sit and I guess later in the season, we might look back at the tendency, and we have done throughout the season, the tendency of teams to lead away and to do crazy things. But sometimes football's about the moment, and I think I would have rather won 4-3 in that way with Cobby scoring in injury time than I would have won 4-0. And I don't know if that really makes much sense to many people watching, but there was just something. Obviously, the last minute winner is one thing, but the sort of way that it is intrinsically linked to who we are as a club, like snatching victory from jeopardy and everything like that. I guess as a defender, it didn't make pretty viewing for you, but what did you make of Cobby's winner at Molineux?
Well, I mean, everyone's talked about it. People try and explain it, but even the most experienced player, many of them around, of course, may not have the composure he had when he done that. He was so much in control of himself when he got the ball, when he was running, and you just always believed that there was going to be something that happened at the end, and everything about it was right. And when you think about his age and you look at where he is at the moment, I worry for him, to be perfectly honest, because I worry that the media attention and how they throw things at young players, that they might try and push his career too quickly rather than him just being a settled player at Manchester United and being allowed to make his own way. It was easy many, many years ago with Sir Alex Ferguson with young players, and he controlled them. He kept all that away from them. They grew in the way that Sir Alex wanted them to grow, those young players. But I don't know if Ten Hag can maybe keep hold and make sure that nothing's pushed on him. Already they're talking about him going to the Euros. And I'm kind of thinking, hold on a minute, give it a bit of time. The lad's just come in. It's not rushing. I'll just take him along just so he can see and feel it. He can see and feel it by watching it on telly. You know, don't just go and take him and try, you know, try too hard with him. And that's what we are. That's what generally happens with media when they grab hold of a player. But there has been a lot of young players who have knocked at the door. When I say that, I mean, they've sat on the bench. They've kind of got on, but they haven't made the impact that he's made. He's done it in a way that no one else has done. We're seeing little bursts. We're seeing good runs. We're seeing, you know, good goals scored or made, little glimpses. But he's added something which is needed to be a top player playing for a big club, and that is consistency. That's what he's been about. It hasn't just been here, there, and everywhere. You're kind of going, well, he's only young. That excuse hasn't been used on him at all. And said he's only young. That's going to happen. He's played the game just like a seasoned pro.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And all the things about not taking him to the Euros and everything. I remember Theo Walcott. Did he even play a game for Arsenal before he was taken to the 2006 World Cup? But he was signed by them. He barely played. He did play. Dave, it's an interesting one with Cobby. I didn't think he played particularly well yesterday, but I think those kind of experiences are really good for him. I mean, I don't think he played badly. I mean, he didn't stand out in the way they did at Molineux or at Newport, where, you know, he was obviously very good in that game as well. But the thing about him was was West Ham away was like his second or third game, and he made the mistake for them scoring. And to see him play as he did at Wolves and score the goal that he did at Wolves. I'm talking about Wolves. I'm not talking about yesterday. I'm not criticising him for yesterday as well. But what I'm talking about is the mental recovery to just play a natural game. You know what I mean? Even a mistake like that can set a player back if they, you know, they're scared to make a mistake. But he plays exactly the same all the time. His composure, and Keane spoke about it on Sky as well, that something that we've talked about a lot is that composure and character of a player, to the temperament, his ability to move from the under-23s and the youth team into the first team to play in exactly the same kind of way, which is probably the most difficult to do in that central midfield position, considering how competitive it is. But he plays the game to his own rhythm, and that's what helped United so severely, and obviously helped on Thursday night with the goal. What was your reaction to Bobby scoring that late winner?
I mean, I did think back to the West Ham game. And at that time, when he made that mistake, I thought, well, this, you know, we're really going to see if this kid really is going to be able to step up to this level. Because like you said, a mistake like that, the media come for you and it can absolutely destroy you. to be honest, I think it spurred him on. He's played even better since. I do agree. I think he did have a quieter game yesterday, I think he's an absolutely phenomenal player. And I'm not gonna sit here and say I've watched him a lot. I've seen some of him in the under-23s, and he was just a level above everyone else. Just really, really was a level above everyone else, even at that age. And he's taken that form into the first team, which is absolutely astonishing that he looks so at ease in the first team. Obviously, it does cross my mind. You're playing for Manchester United, biggest club in the world. There's going to be that extra pressure. You know, you come to the junction, do you go left, do you go right? If this was 2 years ago and the dressing room that we had 2 or 3 years ago, I would have been concerned about where he goes. The influences within that dressing room were not great. I think the dressing room that we have now, a lot more experienced heads. There's not so much focus on social media with a lot of the players that are in that team. Not as much, you know, encouragement to get your face out there. Playing for Manchester United does all that for you. I know we've spoken about this many times down the years and even this past season. And Paul has brought it up a few times. All the rewards come when you play for Manchester United. You don't have to push them. You don't have to force them. Unfortunately, we had a lot of players that in our dressing room the last 4 or 5 years that thought that was the way to get your status out there. But playing for Manchester United, is the status enough? He's an absolutely phenomenal player. My only concern for him was, you know, 2 or 3 months ago was, will this team as a team drag him down? Because as a Manchester United fan, I'm over them, knowing we have them. But as a football fan, I want him to be what I think we all think he's going to be. And in a weird way, I'm thinking is and that was like, you know, 2 or 3 months ago when we weren't playing our best and the club was really in the dire and he started coming into the team. I'm thinking, I hope this isn't a player that we know, because he's absolutely phenomenal. And I mean that in the way that we have had players that were on that edge, and for one reason or another, they never took it on. We all know the problems that we're having right now at the club with the team, yeah, and then the off-field issues. As a football fan, my concern was that he was going to end up just drifting away because of the circumstances around him with the team. But you know, winning is the best remedy for that. And he's been absolutely phenomenal. And since Casemiro's come back into the team, he's actually, I believe, he's taken another step up. He really has. It's so important to have Casemiro in there with him. But an absolutely phenomenal player. And I'm going to disagree about the Euros. I want to see him at the Euros. I really do. I think Wayne Rooney went to either the World Cup. Excuse my ignorance, but the World Cup or the Euros at a very, very young age. Michael Owen the same. You know, it didn't do them any harm. But that midfield that England would have of him, Bellingham and Rice, I mean, Paul, you're an English international, Wayne, you're English as well. Would you not be excited to see that at the Euros? I mean, what a midfield. Me as an Irish supporter, I don't want to see it, but you know.
No, but you want something to celebrate there because your national team haven't made it, have they?
we did it a long time ago.
Just my little bit on it. When you mention Wayne and you mention Michael Owen, think of how many games they had behind them. They weren't as hot off the press then. You know, they were kind of young, but kind of established in a way compared to where he is at this moment in time. And you talk about Gareth Southgate, he ain't suddenly going to go and change a midfield just like that. It isn't going to happen. You know, if you're still picking Jordan Henderson when he's in Saudi Arabia and playing him, then that should answer everyone's question exactly. That you're gonna come in as someone who's hot, who's playing at their peak at that given time. He's gonna bypass that and go with tried and tested. So I'd rather him go there. And if he was to go there and there was always a shout that there's a good chance of him starting and being a regular, you think to yourself, you don't want to stop it. But just to go around and do that, and then that lifts everything up there. And it's amazing when you're young that things can go there. But I'll tell you what, they come down a lot quicker. Yeah. And I think you need to be mentally prepared for that as well as a young player. You can't give something there and then take it away too quickly. And that's why I'm pleased that Ten Hag, the way he's gone and done it, he's done it with a few players. He's brought them in. I think Dalot's one where Dalot suddenly was given a sniff and he done really well. Haven't seen him since. I think against Nottingham Forest, done really well. He done more in that time he was on the pitch than Antony. I know that's not difficult, but he done it, and he done it well when he had the ball. Done really well with the ball. He saw the pass, he played, he moved. But I just think myself, just with Cobby, I just think that I just don't want to take too much, or don't want to give too much to him to take it away. And I think Ten Hag got it right with him. I think he got it wrong with Diallo. I'm thinking about who I'm thinking about. Diallo. I think he's got it a bit wrong with him. He hasn't given him that little bit. And maybe he's now, after what he had, what he'd done with Sunderland, where he was like that, I just think, what is he thinking now? Because he will believe that he's done well for that time when he come on. And we haven't seen him since. Yeah. Sir Alex never done that with young players. They knew exactly where they were at a given time. And I think he knows he done well. And I think there's a lot of people who have been asking that question, given the issues, the way things are with Manchester United and wide players.
Yeah. Aspion, good morning, mate. He says, I do not hope he will be picked for the Euros. Again, a bit of national tribalism maybe to play there. Cobby, a fantastic player. You look at the players who've come through over the years, and obviously United have got a rich history of it, but you know, you can talk about Garnacho, we can talk about Yanazai at one point when he came through, but yeah. Again, I'm going back generationally here, and I'm thinking, since Giggs, have we had a player that has come through that could be potential through the system, who could be so potentially revolutionary for an area of the pitch? You know, Giggs transformed that left-hand side, and I don't know if we have. I know, Beckham and Button, Scholes, they were all brilliant players, but it wasn't like we were struggling in that area. We were struggling in areas before Giggs came along, and I know Sharp was brilliant, but I mean, Giggs obviously went to another level, and this is what I think about Cobby. I think we're looking at a player who, you know, regardless of whether he does go to the Euros or not, maybe it is a good or bad thing for United. No need to hope that if he does go, it's a good thing. Hopefully he continues his great form this season because he's been magnificent. A bit quiet, like Dave said, was critical of him there. And Ashbourne says, Asbjørn, I don't know how to pronounce that name, hopefully. Can it rise less national team players in the squad, the better, yeah. I tend to agree with that. United over England. Obviously, England contingent will want to go, won't they? Anyway, West Ham, Manchester United 3, West Ham 0. Højlund scored a great goal in the first half. Garnacho adding 2 in the second. A really good day as far as result and goals are concerned, because it's a really sort of comprehensive win. Really, compared to what we might have been thinking we were going to do beforehand. Talking about this on the podcast last week, where we weren't sure about Wolves and West Ham in terms of like United being able to turn up and get wins in both those games, but they have done. The second one in convincing fashion, even if I must say the best fullback performance on the day does come from Parker Heritage, somewhat related. Ben Johnson, obviously the nephew of Paul. And he was fantastic, particularly in the first half yesterday. He was unbelievable. And he switched sides for a bit in the second half and was very good then as well. But in the first half, he was West Ham's best defensive player and probably best attacking player as well for a long time. But United managed to sort of get through that. In the areas where Ben wasn't playing, Højlund scores a great goal, moves it onto his right foot and gets it away. And then Garnacho, the first... first is deflected, but a good move, and the second goal kills the game off. Paul, was probably as adventurous as David Moyes has ever been at Old Trafford. I have loads of shots, and yet still come away roundly beaten, which no one on this podcast is going to be that disappointed. But what did you make of United's performance yesterday?
You know what I'm like? I can be deemed a sceptic. Say that, not deemed it, but I think I am in certain ways. I'll put it down. It was a win. That's the best way to put it. I think the scoreline flattered, to be perfectly honest. Still, I mean, the first half was okay, but didn't do enough with the ball. West Ham looked better as an attacking side with the ball in the first half. More urgency, more thrust. Too much time on the ball. And I think I said that with the Texans yesterday, Wayne. Just looked how easy West Ham played against Bournemouth. And I was working the Manchester United against Wolves. And I was looking at a TV, flicking every now and again, watching the West Ham v Bournemouth game. And Bournemouth were just, West Ham couldn't get the ball. And every time West Ham had the ball, they was always constantly under pressure. I still look at Manchester United. I still look at them and I'm not seeing anything organised about trying to get the ball back quicker. Even when you go close to somebody, they don't work their feet. They don't get the player's head down. They virtually say, I'm here, I'm touch tight, I've done my bit now, and that's enough. Instead of saying, am I going to get the ball? I'm just going to get his head down and get him in a fuddle. And so someone can nick it off his toe or he'll give a bad pass because I'm working him too hard. They don't even do that. Saw Garnacho do that on numerous occasions. His effort was just to get there, and then he just stopped. And a few times then the player runs away from him. Pointless exercise, even going there. You might as well just not bother. It was awful. And there was challenges were coming in late because they hadn't done the work early. But they were quite clinical. Højlund again, first half, he had a very, very good first half, like he did against Wolves. His work ethic without the ball, second to none in that team. No one matches him for his work rate and what he does. No one ever goes with him. He does it on his own. Is he being silly? Is he not doing what he's told? But I'm sure to the fans are going, we like that. And then he scores that goal, something out of nothing. That was down with Casemiro winning a ball, come out of the box, and he's nipped in front, made a challenge. I don't know if he's meant to pass it to him, but he just gets the ball, Hoyland, and he does it on his own. I never expected him to shoot with his right foot. And to be honest, you wouldn't have known that his left-footed, the way he's hit that ball with his right, with so much assurance with it. He knew exactly how he wanted to, where he wanted to put the ball, how to strike the ball. And I thought he'd done really well. But in the second half, again, like Wolves, it seems like, and again, like like Newport, it's kind of, oh, it's done. It's done. And that first 5 minutes, you said there's been many a time over the years when United have been 2-0 up against opponents at Old Trafford, and they come out, start the second half, and they go bang, bang, bang. And if it's not scoring, it's the fact of, they said, they're virtually telling the team, we haven't done enough yet. And that team just wilts in the end. They will. Even if the game finished 2-0, they know they're not going to get back in the game, because you don't give them anything in that first fight. You give them no joy. Even if it means committing a foul somewhere just to stop them even before it starts, they know it's going to be difficult. But they allowed West Ham just to get comfortable and comfortable and just play. And all the time, I think, I mean, I wasn't in the stadium, of course, but I just heard it, just hear what's going on. And it still was a little bit of edginess there, people not trusting that they're going to see out the game. And then the one where, again, Harry Maguire gets caught in possession, being too cocky, too laboured on the ball, gets caught out. Should have scored from that one. Emerson nicks it off his toe. Emerson got caught up in something, totally lost it at the end of it, ends up with a ball going too far outside his foot and completely miscues. And there's the one that goes over his head as well. And Dallow has to make that challenge at the end. I mean, maybe Bowen should have hit it earlier, but Bowen, 9 times out of 10, scores one against ones. Maybe one of the best in the country at one against ones. Done it so many times. So it still wasn't right. Even though they've won 3-0, it still wasn't right. But as I said at the start of this, I'm a sceptic. But I just want Manchester United to win games and say they were the better team from start to finish. I had to go to, I was at my mate's 60th birthday party last night. I've had to go there to like 100 odd people, where 90 of them are West Ham fans. So you can imagine that. And they were all virtually saying, they was all saying, we wasn't good, they said. He goes, but Manchester United weren't 3 goals better. And all I can do is shrug my shoulders. That's all I could say, because they were right, Wayne. They were right. It wasn't, but we have to remember as well, it's great that United have gone and scored in 2 games, they've gone and scored 7 goals. They have conceded 4, but got to remember who they played against and the timing of things. And they have to be better, than what they were yesterday, to be perfectly honest. It's great they got the 7 points. It gets them that bit close and they can, a little smell, maybe they might be able to make Champions League football.
Yeah.
Might be able to do it.
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on that with different things which we'll come to in a moment. Talk about Martinez a little bit later, but I want to come to, first of all, Patrick's comments, and I'll come to, by the way, 60th birthday, Paul. I'm pretty sure I'm all right. I'm in a safe zone here, particularly because I'm hundreds of miles away from both of you. But don't you both have landmark birthdays this year where you're entering new decades? I'm pretty sure you do. I'm all right. I'm so young by comparison. But I know you guys' birthdays. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that at all. Okay.
I'm just hoping we can stay in February as long as possible. Instead of being 29 days, which is a leap year, I want it to jump even further, the leap. I want it to go to maybe 100 days in February. I don't want to go anywhere near April.
It might be like it if United get all those injuries. Like December felt like it was 50 days, didn't it? Patrick says, morning, gents. 2 Premier League wins in a disclaimer. I'm going to lay my cards on the table. Hope Kobbie Mainoo opts for Ghana over England. good for Ghana, bad for United with the Africa Cup of Nations every week. Please, don't need that. He agrees with Paul or either West Ham game. Happy with the result, but we're still giving the opposition too many chances for a big side. I only felt comfortable with the third goal. When will we control a match? Dave, I do think it was controlled. I don't think we were ever in any danger. I didn't feel like there was a moment where Ward-Prowse had the free kick just before Hoyland scored, but I didn't really feel like we were ever in danger. Once we were once we did score, I felt like a David Moyes team, that if they're going to be adventurous, and didn't really have a lot of goal scoring options. Like Kudus obviously caused us problems down there, but didn't think he was quite at it yesterday. So I didn't really, I wasn't worried once we'd scored the first goal. It was just about getting that second one. So it was as controlled as I like to see, really, like a routine 3-0 win. And yes, they had a lot of shots, but nothing really, apart from the one where Maguire had his moment, but Emerson didn't take advantage of it. I didn't really feel unduly threatened by West Ham. But there is a prevailing point, what Paul saw and Patrick, which is fair, that United aren't clinical enough. And there was something in that performance yesterday, particularly because Hoyland was, he's a young guy and Garnett was obviously younger than him. And they were the ones who scored the goal. It reminded me a lot of United in the 2005-06 season, where you've got inconsistency of Rooney and Ronaldo. And sometimes we wouldn't kill teams off. Sometimes it would look like someone's there for a hiding. Sometimes they might not score a hole at all when you've got all these players who are of different experiences around, which you a squad who's still in transition and some fine tuning then. I'm not saying we're one season away from a championship challenging side, but it feels like the development of the side is close to that same area as long as all the players fit. And I don't mind watching that. I think it's nice to watch Cobby, like, even if they missed it, Garnacho making the wrong decision and stuff like that, because you know that sooner or later, with the trajectory that these players are on, the penny will drop, and they can't be Ronaldo at his peak for every single season. You've got to enjoy part of that development, and as long as we win games like yesterday, there was a lot to enjoy from it as well.
Yeah, I think because of the way a lot of games have gone this season, when we've gone 1-2-0 up, and we've been, you know, we kind of implode when that happens at times, when a team does pull one back. You know, there's that old quip of, you know, the most dangerous scoreline to have is 2-0. And we've been a victim of that many times this season. I mean, we look at Newport, you know, we look at Wolves. It was only when we got the 3-0 that I was thinking, okay, you know, we may win this game. I didn't think we played particularly well. West Ham didn't play well at all. And there was moments in the game where it was like I just couldn't see anything happening. You know, it wasn't a very high pressured game, if I'm being honest. We know what David Moyes brings. You know, that's the type of football he brings. I think if he had been a little bit more adventurous, they may have caused us a lot more problems. You know, they did have their chances. But I think there's a couple of factors that roll in there, especially this season as United, as watching United, even at 2-0 up. I'm not convinced by our goalkeeper. I think Harry Maguire always has a couple of mistakes in him. He proved that again yesterday. And then going forward is obviously our best, you know, form of defence. Moving Garnacho out to the right is no coincidence that we've actually taken it up a level going forward now. I think he's absolutely phenomenal. He can cut in on his left and he can cross with his right.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So moving him out there was, I don't know whether it was a masterstroke by Ten Hag or just he was forced into it because Anthony was just, you know, so bad, you know, that we have to put an option out there. But putting him out on the right has worked wonders. I'm really enjoying seeing that relationship between him and Hoyland starting to mature. And I think we're going to get a lot of good games out of those two over the remainder of the season. Champions League is still within a sniff, but it's going to be a do or die game in a couple of weeks away at Villa. If we beat Villa, I'll start to believe that we may get that, you know, top four place. But I do agree with Paul. I think, you know, there wasn't anything spectacular about us yesterday. When we got the third goal, I kind of relaxed a bit then. I got, you know, Jesus, we can't be that bad that we can concede three goals to West Ham in the last few minutes, you know. But stranger things have happened. But I was really delighted with the performance yesterday. Obviously marred by the Martinez injury at the end. We just can't have nice things these days, can we? We really can't. As Manchester United supporters, there's, you know, getting Martinez back, Casemiro back, we're a different team. Two players have made us a completely different team, you know, and obviously putting Garnacho out on the right, it was starting to click. It really was. But now we've taken, you know, depending how bad this injury is, and judging by Ten Hag's comments after the game, that could mean anything. That could mean he's disappointed because he's going to be out for the next two games after just getting back, or initial analysis is we'll see him next August. It's that waiting game right now. Pretty disappointing. I know he didn't go down the dressing room. He went and sat on the bench, which to me gave me a bit of optimism that maybe it's a precaution thing. He just doesn't feel right. But I did read in a report at the end of the game where I can't remember the journalist anyway, but he was saying that even in the warm up, Martinez was very uncomfortable with his foot. You know, he kept reaching down and rubbing it and stuff like that. So maybe it's a knock on from that. But to get back to the game, though, yeah, I mean, 3-0 is 3-0. I'll take that any day of the week, considering what we've been through this season. It was a breath of fresh air to actually be able to sit and watch the game the last few minutes and go, hey, I think we're going to win today. But we didn't pull up any trees, but I'll take that 3-0 any day.
Yeah, nicely put. And I don't think Paul or I need to add anything to Martinez. We can see what the severity of it doesn't look good. And obviously it has made a big difference already, even in the fact that we've conceded two goals to Newport and three at Wolves. He's still a difference to our players, astronomical, really. Hope that it's just a precaution, maybe a couple of weeks or something like that. But it's still to be missing for the game against Villa is going to be a very, very big miss. And I presume it's 95% certain they'll miss on. Obviously tomorrow is the 66th anniversary of Munich air disaster. As always, we try pay a little tribute on the podcast. We are going to preview the Villa game in a moment, but we'll talk about Munich first. The darkest day in the club's history, of course. Team had played a European Cup quarterfinal second leg game in Belgrade against Red Star, drew 3-3 to go through 5-4 on aggregate to the semi final where they would meet AC Milan. And they had a fairly good chance of probably beating them because the tie was fairly evenly contested at Old Trafford to prepare before the eventual defeat in Milan. With a scratch side, it has to be said. The disaster claimed the lives of players, three club officials, and, you know, other casualties as well, journalists and civilians. It's just an awful lot of tragedy. And also on top of the deaths, there were casualties such as, you know, Matt Busby was read the last couple of times. Two players, Jackie Blanchflower and Johnny Berry, never played again. The injuries were so severe. Eddie Coleman, Liam Whelan, Tommy Taylor, David Pegg, Roger Byrne, Jeff Bent, Mark Jones, Duncan Edwards, Kramer, Bert Woolley, and Tom Curry. And you can look on the website, Talk of the Devils. You can look on any website, really. Wikipedia's now got loads of information about it. United website as well. There's loads of information there to tell you about the unique contributions of all of those individuals. I mean, like Walter Krickmer, a person who rarely gets mentioned, was so fundamental to the identity of who we are as a football club. And around this time of year, obviously, it doesn't hurt anyone to educate themselves on the disaster because of the history, and deepens your connection to the club. Everything that you learn always does. Now, Paul, you growing up, you would have been aware of the disaster. You watched United in the 70s. I know we've talked before, and like, you know, you were a big fan of United in the late 70s, the Tommy Docherty side, which was the first great post Busby side, and they played with a little of the Busby Pinnock as well. United were still trying to reclaim their identity, really, and you joined the United team who hadn't won a league for a quarter of a century. You know, the ghosts of all those people were still there. Yeah, all right, they'd won it in the 60s, but it's still very much who were dealing with the aftermath of Munich. I think it's like 35 years when you won the title, which was after the disaster. How does your perception of the disaster change from when you're outside to when you're inside? You know, you've been, by the time of the first time you, on that 35th anniversary, which was 1993, and you would have spent a year and a half at the club. So how does it affect you? How differently do you see it once you're inside?
Oh, you see it. Well, you get the ringside seat, really. I mean, you're definitely aware of it as a player, because it always, you know, when I was playing against United, you was always aware some, you know, about it. But once you was inside, then you suddenly realise that you're a part of it, to be perfectly honest, and everything about you had to prepare for that and what went with it. And I always still talk about that first game, played, I was Everton, and it was just an eerie feeling. And it, and again, I said this a few times, and one of my good mates in football is Ian Snowden, and he said after game, we won the game 1-0. I don't think Everton had a shot at goal, but he virtually just laughed afterwards, just in the lounge after, and he just kind of laughed in a way and said, we was too scared even to think about trying to win. You know, that's what he said. That's the way he felt and way Everton felt about it, because of the feeling about it. Everything was kind of geared up for us to go and win that game, and Everton got caught up in it. I mean, if there's a way of winning the league, let's do that regular, I think, really. Have a day like that, a day of remembrance every weekend, Manchester United are at home. But it was, for me, a feeling like that, and it does grab, even now, you know, now I'm not a Manchester United player, I'm just someone who's still in love with the club and always think about it. And it's, when it comes round, there's a lot of other things you remember as well, surrounding that as well. And the people who you would see around the ground, people who were maybe only kids when that happened, or they had, you know, family had involvement somewhere. And those people are still around the ground now, maybe a different generation, but it's still there, ingrained in everybody, and it'll never be forgotten. And now, even when I go back, and the fact of, you know, you walk down the Munich tunnel, I think that's lovely. I just remember it as just the bit underneath with the director's entrance there, but there's a lot more to it now, and it is a, you know, it's a great day, and it'll be a great occasion again.
Yeah, it's... The game you were talking about was the Sir Mark game, wasn't it? After the Everton game, it was close to the unique disaster as well. But yeah, the Busby day was, apart from the Sheffield Wednesday game, which immediately followed Munich, I can't think that there would have been a more emotional pair of games in the club's history at Old Trafford, really. But yeah, I mean, yesterday was nice. The club marked it as sympathetically, as always. It's a weird one for you and Ox, where I know I joked about your age earlier, but still both young, too young to have lived through any of it. We lived through the generation after it as well. Maybe through the people that you and I have talked to over the years, maybe we feel like not a connection or anything, but you feel a little bit closer to it because you talked to people who've had connections to it, and it does. It's a strange thing because everything you learn about anything really is something that's bound to strengthen your connection to it. But when it's like your football club and you've already got an emotional connection to it anyway, to have that on top of it is really compounding. And as a supporter, I don't know, it's a really weird thing, isn't it? I really don't know what I'm trying to like say myself, but what are your sort of feelings around Munich, considering that we're a second generation passed from it?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a very somber time of year, and it's probably one of the fixtures that I do normally look out for when the fixtures get released, is what games are in around the Munich air disaster, and I'm always glad when we're actually playing at home right before it, so there's always that little bit of extra, I won't say effort, but respect shown. We've had many opposition teams come to Old Trafford around that time and have behaved impeccable during the minute silence. But it's funny that, you know, I was unfortunate, whatever we want to call it, to be actually at that Everton game after Busby died. And I mean, I get tingles down my spine just even thinking about it when that bagpiper came out and the whole emotion around that game. And we were absolutely fantastic that day. We really were. The 1-0 scoreline flattered Everton. But it's quite funny to hear, you know, Paul's story, that saying that Everton were just, you know, they just were too terrified to even win. It kind of fits in all right that there wasn't a lot of effort from Everton that day, and I just naturally assumed it was because Manchester United were playing so well that day. I stood in the terrace behind the scoreboard end, and I mean, the emotion of that day was absolutely, I'll never experience that like that again, from a somber emotion. Obviously 99 was a different emotion, but that game itself was just, I know it was, you know, because Sir Matt had died, but it really wasn't all just about Sir Matt passing. It was also a connection with Munich as well because of Sir Matt. And I think that made it, you know, that much more of an emotional day. Munich, what we got to do as well is, you know, we got to applaud as well the way Manchester United handled these things. I think down the years, the club has been criticised a lot for the way they've handled certain things. But I think in the most cases, they get the Munich anniversary right every year. I really do. I think they put a lot of effort into it. And also, you know, a lot of our supporters put a lot of effort into it. And we see all over social media that they actually travel to Bayern, you know, take time off work and, you know, spend a lot of money just to fly over to Munich to pay their respects on the day. Phenomenal, you know, phenomenal from the supporters. And I think, like I said, I think the club handles it very well each year. You know, it could be made into something more commercialized. I think the club have not done that. And they've been criticised for, you know, trying to make a buck out of every single situation. But I do like the way the club do handle it every year. And like I said, it's one of the first fixtures, aside of, you know, Liverpool City games, that I look out for when the fixtures come out. And it's always, I always enjoy it when it's a home game, a couple of days, or even on the actual day. So, I mean, we built this. This club took an extra level when that happened. We can't deny that. You know, we became a global name. So, you know, we can take some kind of, you know, light out of that. That'll put Manchester United firmly on the map. Even though, you know, I honestly believe we were about to create a dynasty that was never going to be matched. Real Madrid took that mantle, but didn't have anyone in their way. I honestly believe Manchester United will be sitting here on, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 European Cups if that disaster didn't happen. And it would take a very strong argument for anyone to convince me otherwise. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think if anyone doubts the gravity of what they're saying, you really only have to go back and look at the mechanics of what was happening in that sort of mid-50s period with a number of quality players went through. Bobby Charlton was a reserve. Didn't think that he was going to play. Bill Foulkes said that he didn't think he'd play games because Mark Jones and Jackie Blanchflower were so good at centre-half. And Bill Foulkes at one point was a leading appearance maker at the club for a brief period, obviously, Bobby Charlton took over. But, you know what I mean? And he still, Foulkes is still fourth in that list. He thought he wouldn't play. Charlton thought Edwards was superior to him. You know what I mean? You look at it in those terms and you think of the long careers that were denied these players. Like they racked up, like they say, they all racked up Bobby Charlton numbers, 750 games, which isn't beyond the realm of imagination. The loss is so profound, and we can talk about the playing side of it, but the human side of it as well, the scars, like Paul was saying, the survivors would have lived with and seeing them around the club and knowing how much they loved the club and the dignity that they had. And I imagine playing in that era, not that I'm going to put Paul on the spot to talk about it because I know it's going to be quite an emotional thing, but imagine playing, it's difficult enough supporting the club, like when, you know, like trying to keep the emotion through for players we never experienced playing live or anything like that. But knowing, can feeling that, being a player around the survivors and then having to put on a performance that, you know, around that time and things like that. It's incomprehensible, really. And the loss is just tragic. But when there is loss, I do want to say this, always something that you should take away from that. And that's what they gave while they were there. And what they gave the club was its identity, really. And the Jimmy Murphy story of what he did afterwards and everything like that. But everything really was crystallised in what the Babes contributed. And the message and the standard that the club have lived up to ever since. And that's a good thing to have. It's a very good thing to have. And, you know, as a supporter removed from it, I'm very proud that we've got that. So it's a day to remember that as well as, you know, paying respects for how sad it is that they were lost. We're recording this live on Monday morning, the day before the anniversary of the disaster. Obviously, Stafford Boys has an event on the day. So if anyone is listening in the area, make sure to make your way down to Trafford and pay your respects if you can. Okay, so United play Aston Villa next week. Paul, Villa, a bit of a mix since Christmas, but they've still only lost 5 games all season. They're not in that best run of form. At Villa Park, they drew with Sheffield United just before Christmas. They were beaten by Newcastle at home in the week, but they did absolutely tear Sheffield United apart at Bramall Lane. Very difficult prospect for United going there with Martinez injured, but the form has been better. It's a crucial game. I mean, I don't expect that we'll challenge for the Champions League spots this season, but if we win this game, maybe there's an outside chance. It's critical for that, isn't it?
I would say it's absolutely imperative not to get beaten. That's the most important thing for United, not to get beaten. I know it's going to be difficult. It's even more difficult now with Martinez maybe being out. Because when I looked at that back four against Wolves and the way they played, I think as a back four, I think that would be the strongest that he would have at his disposal. There'd be arguments about Wan-Bissaka maybe playing. But Dalot gives that little bit because he's more variable in the forward areas. Defensively, as it showed yesterday, he's a little bit more astute now. He's, you know, he's sensing danger. Otherwise, that game would have, you know, they could have scored West Ham. But the back four was really good. Varane had been playing well next to Johnny Evans. And then Varane then plays with Martinez and he was excellent. I was surprised he didn't start yesterday. I don't know what was behind it, but I was surprised. But I still look at Villa, and Villa come back really well to go and after what happened against Newcastle. I think you know in yourself, Wayne, when something's going really well and you're having this great run, when it gets stopped, normally it's something big. something out of the blue. It just explodes in just one moment. And then mostly just thought, what's happened here? Newcastle. And while they couldn't score at one in Newcastle, everything they hit seemed to go in. But then to respond, and people say, but it was only Sheffield United, but to respond in the fashion they did. I mean, I watched it, and in the end, I was upstairs watching it on the iPad, and in the end, I flicked it off because I felt embarrassed at Sheffield United. They kept panning to the manager and panning to the fans, and I felt sorry for them because the Villa would absolutely just, I'm just going to say, battering them. It could have been 10 after 35 minutes. So United have to be better than what they were yesterday because Villa are relentless when they go forward. Everyone gets involved. They play as a unit. Everyone goes up. Everyone comes back. They play quite high as well, a bit like Tottenham. So they are vulnerable for the one behind. But then you need players who want to run as well. That's the thing, you want to run behind to stretch them and to make them think then about dropping back to create space in front for the midfield players to get on the ball and maybe create something. So it's just that game, which it's a tester, really. I think it's good to go, I think, for United to go and play Villa now, considering, you know, they come to Old Trafford and done well. Then now Villa, during my time, was a place where United went and hardly lost. Always great. I love Villa Park, saying that, but I'm nostalgic. I still love Hillsborough. I think they're two iconic grounds because I still think of them as FA Cup grounds. But yeah. United, you know, normally go to Villa Park and it's an occasion. And the game is, you know, the game and everything about it has still got a ring to it. They just need to go there and grab it, go there and give Villa their second defeat at home.
Yeah, it's a good point about the high line because really it was the high line that United are supposed to come back and win at Old Trafford. You would expect that if Villa put Villa Park, they will have learned from the lesson and maybe sit a little bit deeper this time round. But United can't afford for it to get into that position. Expecting to see next week. Dave?
So you cut off at the end there, Wayne.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. And what are you expecting to see at Villa Park next week?
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, it's on the back of two wins for United. We are going in there pretty confident. And this is going to be a good test, you know. And as I said earlier on, if we want it, you know, we have a sniff of that, you know, top four. We got to go to Villa, and at a minimum, as Paul said, we can't lose. You know, we just can't lose. There's such a tight group around that, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. You know, it's so tight that, you know, one minute you could be in with a chance, and then the next year you're looking at hopefully not getting into the Europa League. So it's going to be a very tough place to go. Villa are, you know, I know we said it's only Sheffield United, but at the end of the day, they come back and thump them 5-0. That's going to give them a lot of confidence. You know, Ollie Watkins scored again. He's going to be a big problem. Having Martinez in there would have been a hell of a lot. Obviously, we would be a hell of a lot more confident going in there. Still a little bit nervy because, you know, Villa are a good side. They're a decent side this season. I don't think, you know, they have three or four seasons in them of being a good side. I just think every year the Premier League throws up one or two teams that go above and beyond. And I think Villa are that this season. But, you know, they are dangerous. But, you know, we're coming on the back of two good wins. We've scored 7 goals. Hoyland has scored in his last 4 games. Garnaccio is starting to click. Casemiro's back. Fernandez is not being as erratic as he has been for a lot of games. I think he's been, you know, I think having Casemiro back has helped him as well. Although I'm still not 100% convinced of Dalot, I think he definitely has improved over the past, you know, couple of months. And that block yesterday was absolutely phenomenal. I'm just a little bit concerned that we stick with Harry Kane at Villa Park. I think Watkins will have a field day.
Harry Maguire.
I'd actually forgotten about that one that dropped over his head until Paul mentioned it. And then in slow motion, it looks even worse. You know, he's just his positional sense at that moment was absolutely shocking. And then obviously I have no idea what happened that time when, you know, he get the ball away and the West Ham broke, and I think the guy that just broke into the box just couldn't believe he got, you know, 1 or 2 meters from the goal, and he absolutely spooned it over the bar. But that's what, unfortunately, that's what Harry Maguire will give you. And, you know, we can't have mistakes like that at Villa Park. Better teams will absolutely muller you. But I'm looking forward to it on the back of 2 wins. And again, Villa Park, one of my favorite grounds, really is. They haven't done a hell of a lot to it, which makes the nostalgia of it, you know, even better. And the crowd is always up for it. It's a nice big ground. It's very open. But yeah, I'm sure as a player, it's better to be playing at, you know, a stadium like that than it is at, you know, somewhere like, you know, the Emirates, brand new, spanking clean. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the game, probably from behind the sofa, to be honest, because I have a Villa fan. As a friend of a friend, and I bet him at the start of the season, €50 that United would be so far ahead of Villa that we wouldn't be able to see them. Kind of regretting that now. It's interesting. It'll be a good game though. But United are on form. Villa, you know, coming on the back of a very, very good win. Anytime you score 5 goals, you know, it's a good win regardless of who you're playing against. So it's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, interesting is one word for it. Never dull with United at the moment. I'm hoping for the miracle of Martinez being fit, but yeah, it's going to be with Harry Kane or Harry Maguire in United's defence. And I don't know. I wouldn't recommend watching Harry Maguire in slow because you'd think your TV's broken.
I bet you there's a podcast on somewhere in Germany where a Bayern Munich fan is praising Harry Maguire for scoring the weekend. So, you know, I'll take that.
I'm sure there's not. That's it for this week, guys. We'll be back next week to talk about the Villa game. And I think Luton will be game that we'll be previewing as well. So hopefully we're talking about a good United win at Villa Park and Martinez on the match display. Harry Maguire, man of the match display, will do me as long as we win. But we'll be back next week to talk about it. If you can leave us a review on the podcast provider that you're listening through. And if you've enjoyed the podcast on YouTube, if you can subscribe and share on the platforms, on your socials, that would be something that we really appreciate. Thanks a lot for your time, guys. Stay safe, stay well. We will be back next week.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.